Hello and welcome to the Talisman Podcast, episode number 34. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, after a two-month absence. I know you've been clamouring for this podcast to return, but we are finally back. My name's Dan Wimbush, and I'm joined, delighted to say I'm joined once again by Mr. Johnny Williams, Deputy Editor at the Talisman End. Johnny, hello.
Afternoon. Morning. Morning.
Morning, just, yeah. Just and morning. The voice barely of Reading FC podcasting for over 5 years, Mr. Alan West. Otherwise known as Westy. Westy, hello.
Gloria's come back. Looking forward to getting straight back into it. I don't think any of us have been able to predict any of the scores if we've just looked at our predictions. No. They've been pretty poor. Yeah.
It has been a very up and down start to the season. Apologies that this show hasn't returned earlier. Basically, we've all been off on our jolly ollie bobs.
Scheduling
nightmares. We're all such high-profile celebrities these days after last year's success.
Yeah.
It's difficult, you know, been at award ceremonies and all sorts.
Mobbed.
Indeed. Put it all into the computer and this was the first date it came out with.
Indeed, exactly.
People phone your people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Phone dance people then.
Well, yeah. If you haven't listened to this show before and you've been listening to our podcast Extras with Charles Watts, basically this is a bit more of a friendly, bit of pub chat really.
Yeah.
Two fans chatting over the issues and a bit more news and views and analysis rather than just the headlines and whatnot. So, but the podcast Extras is still going to keep going. Both shows will run throughout the season. So this one usually drops at the start of a week and the podcast Extras will usually be at the end of the week. So if you subscribe in iTunes, you'll get both shows. So you won't miss a thing. And I'm sure you can't bear to be away from us for too long.
People are unsubscribing right now.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, that's a glitch. No. Anyway, right, let's get straight to it. Reading are 5 games into their league season now. 2 wins, 1 draw, 2 defeats. If someone had given you that at the start of the season, Westy, would you have taken it?
Well, with what we've got to put out on the pitch, I think they're doing fantastically well. The games they've won, obviously you can't say they've dominated matches and rolled teams over, but what they're doing, and after that Ipswich game, I don't think it's been a long time since I've come out of a match so proud of that team, because although they weren't the best team on the day, I didn't think so, and second half really they should have probably lost the game, but they fought, they kicked, they chased every ball, and I think as a fan that's all you can ask, and that's what they're doing, and for the manager they're playing, and considering let's face it, at the start of the season I spoke to Andy Williams not so long ago. And I said, if he's thinking, and he said the same as me, if he's thinking he can put them young players in that championship and get results, then he's going to be mistaken. But to be fair to him, some of them look like they've been there for years already. And Hector, especially, I think in most of the games, he's been absolutely outstanding.
Johnny, fans' opinion is fluctuating wildly from week to week at the moment, depending on whether...
Results.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you're glass half full, glass half empty, glasses smashed on the floor, or you're overflowing. Where is this Reading team at the moment? Do you agree with Westy? Is this still a work in progress?
I think it has to be a work in progress. And I mean, it's a bit dangerous to say we should start bringing in 3 or 4 new players, because we've already brought in 3 or 4 new players. If you look at Cox and Mackie, Ferdinand and Norwood as well. And I mean, the injury list at the moment, there's 10, 12 players on the injury list. We go up to Scunthorpe for a pretty meaningless game in the League Cup and 2 more players get injured there, Cummings and Blackman. So in terms of the squad, I mean, we're having to throw these youth players in, which, I mean, it's a good experience for them, but generally Reading haven't done this with the youth teams. Normally these players go out on loan. You look at Alex Pearce, Sigurdsson, McCarthy, Robson Kanu, all these sorts of players spent time in the lower leagues before coming into Reading.
Yep.
You know, perhaps once the injury list quietens down a little bit, then these players will, follow the track we normally take. But, for all these players to come in, Cool in particular, I thought has looked comfortable.
Our class act.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him in the under-21s, but already he looks ready for football at this level. And, Jake Cooper has had to come in for a couple of games and he's done all right as well. So
it's just the sheer number of academy debuts has been, I don't say ridiculous because that's, sounds harsh, but it's been staggering.
Yeah.
I remember when I started the show a long time ago now, and I was saying to Paul about it, and it was on about the amount of money they're spending on the academy and the youth setup at Reading. And I remember saying to Paul that there will be probably 10 years before you'll see any development come through, any players start moving into the first team. To be fair, that's been sped up quite rapidly. And now we're getting players that are coming into the championship and not being overawed by it at the age they are. So the improvement in that squad is still massive. If they can compete now, and if they can bat around 10th before Christmas, when the full squad's back, you just bet Reading to fly up that league, really.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, I said the results have been mixed. 2-2 draw at Wigan at the first day of the season. I don't think I'm alone. Well, I know I'm not alone because I've seen our predictions. I think everybody expects us to get a bit of a pace in there. They get a creditable draw.
It's such a shame as well that goal. Yeah. And it was a stupid goal to give away as well. Just naive defending. And that's one thing that's worried me from watching Red at the moment, is some of the defending has been poor.
Yeah.
And what we had last year was power from our corner to start scoring goals without Morrison. You know, when Morrison's in there and Pierce is in, you've got two players who can win the ball. But now, because we've got quite a young side, they look a bit light when they're defending set pieces and even attacking our own corners.
Yeah, then they follow that up, as you mentioned, with that 1-0 win over Ipswich. Great, great effort all round. Then the wheels just started to come off a little bit with those two defeats, Huddersfield at home and Forest away. Less said about Forest away, the better. They just were, you know, they were just destroyed. They were taken apart.
Mm. Well, what Forest have got, and the reason why they're top of the league, and I say this all the time in modern day football, is they've got pace and they've got power in forward areas. And against young players, they're not going to be able to cope with that. Whereas probably some of the others haven't got that sort of pace and power in forward areas. And that's why Forest end up at the top of the league, because they just got it on the wings, they've got it up front. And that worries teams in this league.
Well, when you can afford to spend, what is it, 8 million on Hassan Belonga?
Yeah.
3 million on Antonio?
But even Antonio, you know what I mean? We talked about Antonio a long time ago when he was at Reading. I said he was raw, but he's got that pace and power about him. And he's gone away and he's proved it now.
Well, it was just the wrong time for him, really, because we had a lot of wingers at the club at the time. And it was one of those, a bit like Simon Cox, I think, as well. Just, it wasn't quite the right time for him, so we let him go, and, you know, fair play.
The frustrating thing for me is watching Mikel Antonio is then looking at how Robson Kanu is saying, why haven't you made those sort of steps up?
Mm. Again, we'll be talking about it all year again. Robson Kanu should be playing every week if he's fit.
Yeah, I know he's not featured this season because he has been injured, but it's safe to say pre-season he wasn't setting the world alight either. So he's got a lot to prove when he comes back.
Yeah. And the good thing about these young players being there now is the old stages, to be fair, know that there's players that can come in and take their place now.
Yeah.
With Guthrie being one. Now Norwood's here. Will Guthrie get a game? Who knows?
Yeah, well, we mentioned the demolition up at Forest, but the Huddersfield game at home was, for me, the most disappointing, because those goals they gave away, awful. Especially the first one, that complete cock-up between Hector and Akpan.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Oh, it's dreadful. Again, dwelling on the ball, they're too slow at moving it. And again, if you're asking Akpan to play football and come and take the ball off the defenders, then you are asking for trouble.
If you're asking Akpan to play football full stop, you're asking for trouble at the moment.
Well, you know what he's good at, and it's not controlling the ball and passing it, is it? Mm. So running around and putting himself about, great.
No, but it was the same sort of story with, you know, passing the ball around the back four, probing one way, probing the other way, and not really getting anywhere. It was only when we did our typical sort of final 15 minutes, throw everything forward, then that was when we looked like scoring. And it was a bit like Ipswich. I don't think we've really deserved to win against Ipswich, and I don't think we deserve to get anything against Huddersfield in the next game.
Well, one of the chief complaints from people has been the fact that Nigel Adkins has been playing players out of position. He seemed to get it a bit more right at Borough, but Huddersfield and Forest especially, playing Jordan Obita in the middle and then playing Sean Cummings at left back and things like that, it's just, why are you putting square pegs in round holes?
Well, I think you always need a left back to have a left foot. You know, it's never been ideal when we've had Stephen Kelly there, or Chris Gunter's played there a couple of times, and Sean Cummings obviously now. And, you know, Obita, he was forced into the left back position, to be fair, after injuries last season, but he's coped quite well. Whether he wants to play there in the future, we're not quite sure. I mean, I think Charles on the podcast said, or certainly online said, that he, you know, Obita's going to be playing left back this season, but I'm not sure that he wants to, and I think possibly we should be looking to buy a left back.
Well, no, he's come out in the press before and said he sees himself as a number 10, ideally. But that's not the point. When you've got such a team like that, you use your best players in your best positions, and for that, he's not been very effectual in the middle.
I think what Atkins was doing is, I think he trusts Obita because he's a good footballer, and he thought, I'll put him in there because I think he could do a job. Now, what happened with that is Obita was coming far too deep and playing centre-back at some times, and Cummings was so slow to get the ball onto his right foot that it was just slowing all the play down. Mm. And that's why it ended up getting turned over.
I mean, the other thing is, Obita's always had a touchline to play with. You know, when you're on the wing, you've got that line, you know where you can go. You have to be a lot more aware. I'm not saying that Jordan Obita doesn't have an awareness of what's around him, but playing in the middle of the park is a lot different to playing on the flank.
And centre midfield is the hardest position on the pitch.
Yeah, and I think if he was in a centre midfield with, say, a Mikael Leisurewood type figure and a Simon Cox in front of him, I think he'd be a lot better because he's got that security around
him. Yeah, if he had someone to direct him, again, we think we're putting too much pressure on Obita to be the top player because he's only had a season. What do you expect from him?
No, it's not. It's just a case of, for me, I'm glad it brings us on to Middlesbrough because I want to see those players playing in their best possible positions.
Yeah.
And Obita did move back to left back for Borough and really go up there and get a 1-0 win. Again, I spoke to Charles on the podcast extra a couple of days ago and we were saying, oh, I unfortunately can't really see anything, getting anything at Borough. And they've gone and they've done a typical smash and grab.
The thing is, most top teams, most top managers will try and keep their back four exactly the same every week and then tinker maybe in front. And again, Atkins changed that. And again, they did leave him open quite a bit. But again, they've come back at Middlesbrough. And again, I wasn't expecting to get much of a result. And they've gone out and done what they seem to do quite a lot at Middlesbrough, grab a 1-0.
Yeah, cracking goal from Simon Cox as well. Second goal for him now at Reading. What sort of impact have you made of him so far, Johnny?
I think he's been one of these players who's always there buzzing around. But for me, he just didn't seem to have that presence or that final touch. And he reminded me a little bit of Adam Lafondra in the sort of poaching manner. But obviously, he's grabbed 2 goals. Was it the winner against Ipswich?
Huddersfield.
And it was a cracking finish up at Middlesbrough yesterday. I think he's going to be valuable, but there's always that problem that you have with him in that he's not the tallest, he's not the best in the air. We still do need a striker who can actually hold the play up and win a couple of headers. Because without Nick Blackman, we've really got no one in the middle of the park who can win a header. We must be one of the shortest teams in the league.
No. Well, Cox is, again, he's batted around the top of the Championship and lower Premier League for quite a while now, and he does score goals, and he scores goals at international level as well. So I think you probably end up top scorer without setting the world alight.
Yeah. Any other performances from individuals? We mentioned Aaron Cole. It's been fantastic. For me, it's been a real bright spot of the season so far. But what have we made of other players? Players like, what about Jake Taylor? Got his first goal for the club, the winner against Ipswich. What have we made of him?
Again, he puts in a decent shift without you really noticing he's out there.
Yeah.
That's what I would say about him. He scored 2 good goals and he got a goal in his locker, obviously. But you don't notice him on the pitch, if that's fair, if you know what I'm saying. You watch him and you think, well, he's doing all right, but you don't never see him pull up any trees. But again, it's his age, and if he can score goals now, what's it going to be like in 5 years' time? Or even 2.
Absolutely. Other players coming into the fold, Oliver Norwood. Very early days, try to make an impression of him, but again, he adds something to that midfield. He's a
Guthrie type player, but younger, and again, there's more improvement in him. So I think Danny Guthrie, unless he can get himself fit and playing at his top level, which we know he can, then he'll be looking to a place on the bench, and he won't like that too much, I don't think.
Okay, well, we'll go in and we'll talk a little bit more about these transfers in pub chat in just a minute's time. But so that rounds up. I said 2 wins, a draw, and 2 defeats. So you're about happy with where we are.
I think if you'd said that before the start of the season, you'd have looked at it and said, okay, we'll probably win against Huddersfield and Ipswich.
lose at Wigan, lose at Forest.
Lose at Wigan, lose at Forest, and maybe get a draw at Middlesbrough. Yeah. The fact that we've completely turned it on its head, aside from Ipswich, is really what astounds me with Reading. And it's just this typical thing in the Championship. You never really know what you're going to get. I mean, we're all fearing the worst, saying we won't have a beater, we won't have Hector, he'll be injured as well, we can barely name a team.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everyone comes back and we smash and grab a 1-0 win. I think the performances haven't been, especially at home, haven't been as good as what we want just yet.
It's taken the same sort of pattern as last year. At home, poor results. Away from home, when we're not so much pressure on us to attack, we seem to be able to turn teams over. Huddersfield done a perfect job on us because they scored and then they sat in and said to Reading, well, what have you got over the top of us? And we talk about this all the time. What pace have Reading got? How can they stretch you? And they can't. And away from home, teams have to attack you. And when we're playing nice little football, quick triangles, like the goal against Middlesbrough, we can do it at home. Teams tend to pack the midfield and stop us playing. And you might find all season we struggle at home and win more away than we do at home.
Question then, glass half full, glass half empty?
I think it's definitely half full. I think you've got a team that will improve as the season goes on. And with players that can come in and be better than what we've already got in there now, I think we'll be in for a good season. I really do. And if they can just scrap it out till Christmas, till everyone's sort of new enough, fully fit, I think they'll be all right.
Johnny?
Yeah. Glass half full, definitely. To come out of these 5 games with 7 points, considering that our entire first choice midfield is in the injury room, as well as our first striker, I think you've got to be positive about that. And, in October, November, when we've got these players coming back, Karachan, Williams, Guthrie, McCleary, Pogge, you've got to be positive, really, because those are players that, no disrespect to anyone else in the side, but they will be back in as soon as they are fit.
And also, when you look at the Championship, is there anyone out there that frightens you? And I think, no, there isn't. And amazingly, the great thing is about the Championship, all those games we just talked about could have easily gone either way, except for the Forest game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we were just edged out of that.
Yeah, just.
Right, let's move on to pub chat then, and we can chat a little bit more about the transfer activity and the takeover activity this summer.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat. The last time we recorded this show was right at the end of June, and we'd just sold Adam Lafondra, so won't really go over our thoughts with Alfie. It's safe to say, I think we were all in general agreement that it was a decent deal for Reading to do, and I don't think any of us were heartbroken.
Nah, he's not pulling up trees either, is he? To be fair, not at the moment.
No, not got a goal yet for Cardiff. So, but you know, I'm not going to lie. If he was still at the squad, I'd be especially right now.
Yeah,
I'd be happy. But overall, I don't think this is a deal I'm going to look back on personally and think, oh God, why did we sell Alan Hondra?
That was a good bit of business.
Yeah, he's exposed at this level / you know, lower Premier League, $3 million, you're on his contract. Good deal.
Exactly. Right, well, since then, obviously there was a bit of a transfer embargo while the takeover activity happened. You know, if you've been listening to our podcast sections with Charles, you sort of got the general gist of what's going on with the takeover. And if you go onto the tarlesn.com as well, we've got a full update stream of all that's happened with the takeover, all the developments over the last couple of months. So, we're not going to retread old ground, but it looks like it's just a case of waiting on paperwork now until Sassima...
Are we calling her Sassy?
Well, Della says apparently she's called Sassy.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it makes more sense.
It did. Sassy and Samrit, our new Thai overlords.
It makes life easier for us.
Indeed. It looks like the Thai consortium are taking over everything seems...
We were wishing Her Majesty the Queen of Thailand a happy birthday at the Newport game.
Really?
Yeah. It was up on the big screen with her like floating in a cloud of lotus flowers and then... also on the programme as well, on the back of the programme.
Slightly worrying turn of events.
At least we didn't do it with Putin when Zingarevich was around.
Oh dear. Right, let's stay away from that can of worms. Yeah. But anyway, it looks like the takeover is going through and it's fine. After months and months, it's like years really, the speculation, it all looks like it's going through. Are you a bit happier with how things have gone this time around, Westy?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been a long time coming, but they seem like most of these millionaires who come into your club, they seem like they're the real deal. Just hope they are, and all the best to them. I think we needed to move forward. We was going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble, and someone's come along and bought the club. Great, and let's hope they're the real deal. And the great thing about it is they're already involved in football, at least one of them. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, Johnny, any thoughts?
I think you've got to, with most of these things, you know, once bitten, twice shy. You've got to wait 6 months, wait 12 months, and see what happens. I guess the positive thing is we have been buying players or, you know, signing players, Ferdinand, Cox, Mackey, etc. But then two players have left as well. So I certainly don't think that they, you know, take asset stripping and doing a runner because, you know, they were good deals for the club in retrospect. I think we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. You know, Atkins will probably want to bring in a few loans, possibly a couple of players before the transfer window ends. And hopefully the Ties will give them the money to do that. And you have to say, we've still got a club. So certainly... that's something to check.
Well, that was the big thing. We didn't obviously end up not going into administration. If you'd started the season with minus 10 points, then you're...
It's a struggle from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Yet alone, you're talking playoffs and promotion, you've got to, you know, fight just to stay up. So that's the main thing that's happened. And I agree totally, Johnny. It's wait and see. We've been burned. I mean, the Zingarevich era started brightly, didn't it?
Yeah.
With players coming in and whatnot. And now we know that was loaned money.
Mm.
So we'll have to wait and see. The noise have been positive and you like to think that the club have very much learnt their lessons from last time round, but we'll just have to wait and see. Obviously it's still waiting on formal ratification from the Football League, and until that's all done and dusted, again it is still a hurdle to jump. But again, go back and listen to the last podcast section with Charles. Went into it then. So if you do want any more takeover news, that is the place to go, or the tarlesn.com. But let's get back to on pitch issues. Far more important and more exciting to talk about, because after a season basically of not talking about transfers and players coming in, as we've already mentioned, Brendan have added four players to the squad, and not just four youth players or, you know, random academy players they've signed from Hull or whatnot. Four proper established players, three of which, possibly even four actually, have played in the Premier League. Oliver Norwood, Jamie Mackey, Simon Cox and Anton Ferdinand. We'll go through them then. We've already talked a little bit about Cox, but your general thoughts on the deal? Less than $1 million by the sounds of it. Pretty good deal all round.
Again, I think it's a fantastic amount to pay for a player that, like I said earlier, has scored goals in the Premier League and at an international level. To get him for that price, I think you can't knock it, really.
Because
even if he fails, which I don't think he will, 600,000, 700,000, it's peanuts, really, in today's market.
Yeah, and he knows exactly what the club's all about.
Yeah, he'd come in and settle straight away because he lived here. You know what I mean? So it's not as if he's got to settle into the club. He's up and running straight away because his family's still around.
And the good thing for him as well is, as we mentioned, he's got those two goals early on. It's not a case of, oh, he's waiting for that goal, waiting for that goal. You know, like what happened with Nick Blackman, really. Mm. Nick Blackman didn't really settle because he took a while to get off the mark.
Yeah. Another thing with Cox, I suppose, in his mind, he's got something to prove because he was released by this club, you know, and they sent him out and they sold him. And now he's back. I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, well, I proved that that decision was wrong. And like I said, he scored goals at national level, so he can't be a bad player.
Yeah, his Nottingham Forest teammate Jamie Mackie is signed on a season-long loan initially. Again, so he couldn't play up at Forest. Probably good for him. When he first came in, he was injured. That's a pattern that seems to happen with Reading signings. Yeah. But since then, he's come in, he's played, you know, and he's done all right. Mackie, happy?
I'm happy with him. He's, you know, he's not a striker that's going to score 20 goals a season. He's a hard-working one. I think he'll bring energy to the side, and he'll bring pace and enthusiasm as well. When he loses the ball, he'll be trying to get it back as soon as possible. And he's just brought a bit of hustle to the side. You saw when he came on against Huddersfield, and I think he came on possibly against Ipswich as well. He's got that energy, and he's a hard worker. And I think that's exactly what we need at the moment.
I like Mackie. I always like Mackie. I think he's one of those fans on the pitch type players. You know what I mean? It's infectious, his work rate. And if you see someone like that putting in the amount of effort he does, it's pretty difficult for you to stand there and think, well, I'll let him get on with it. You know, it is infectious. They did need an older head in with all that lot that we're playing at the moment. And I think he's an excellent signing. I really do. I always like Mackie.
I remember watching him, Reading play Plymouth a few years ago in a 2-2 draw, and he's cracked in a belter from about 25 yards. And ever since then, I've kept an eye on him and thought, I really like Reading signing. Because, like you mentioned, he's a typical Reading player.
Yep.
Hard working, will run up and down the lines, infectious, G's people up. Perfect signing. And you can see what Atkins is trying to do. He's getting these support players in, these support type striker players like Mackie and Cox. Because unfortunately, the guys he's been left with, the Robson Carneys and the Blackmans, are still
not
showing. And Jake Taylor's obviously work in progress.
And a very different sort of two players, because with Carnu and Blackman, they're the sort of players that they might do something out of nothing. They've got a bit of pace about them if they want to play, you know what I mean? But the thing is, they're not the sort of player that you're going to look to thinking, oh, I know he's going to put in a decent shift, because they don't. But if you've got Mackie sat on the bench, you've got Cox sat on the bench, and you've got 25 minutes left, you're thinking they're coming on, they're going to run everyone down, they're going to chase every ball, and that's brilliant.
Or the opposite, you start with those type of players, and then you can bring on a bit of a maverick or a wild card, like a Tanner, like a Blackman, or Robson Carnu, to come and cause trouble later on. So it's what they used to do with the likes of Long, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, frightening, really. If you look at the bench now and what it could be, you could have some real top championship players sat on the bench waiting to get on a pitch.
Mm. Absolutely. Other players have been added. As we mentioned, Oliver Norwood from Huddersfield. For me, I think they got the wrong Huddersfield midfielder, although Adam Clayton was on the losing side yesterday. I'm really gutted they didn't go out and get him.
Yeah, Clayton's a good player.
But in saying that, Oliver Norwood, you know, put in a good shift yesterday. Obviously, he had a bit of a cameo off the bench the week as well, but
it's nice to see Atkins buying his type of players all of a sudden, because Oliver Norwood wasn't probably on anyone's radar, to be honest. But since you've seen him over the 90 minutes we've seen him now, whatever long it is, he's the sort of player, a bit like Guthrie, likes to have the ball at his feet, he's confident with it and will direct the play. And I think now you're seeing Atkins buying his own players, and we've said for a long time that he's not had that opportunity here, so you can't really judge him until he has.
I said it all, can't argue. I said a player that I've not known too much about, other than he obviously came through the ranks at United as part of a fairly successful Huddersfield team. So it's a case of wait and see from Norwood. And the other one is a player that we probably all have seen a bit more of, Anton Ferdinand. Bit out of left field. Some people again saying, well, has this got anything to do with the fact that he signed for Samrits Police FC, is it?
Police United.
I think it clearly has got something to do with that. He was floating around. We were short of centre-backs. I better thought, well, why not get him down? It's a low-risk signing, really. But the only thing that sets me about Anton Ferdinand is, why has it taken so long to get match fit? Surely, when you're not playing, if you're a professional, you'd think, well, I'll keep myself fit. I'll keep myself raring to go.
I think the fact you're forgetting there, he was on QPR money.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. he could go on holiday on that sort of money. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? I personally think that's unprofessional. If you're a professional footballer and you want to play professional football, then why are you having time off and thinking, you know what, I'm not going to be match fit when I come back. It's going to take me weeks to get going.
I'll defend him a bit. I think it's very hard to say championship match fit when you're not playing games.
Yeah, I know that.
But he hasn't played a game in, what, nine, 10 months?
Yeah, but even so, you could have kept yourself at a decent level, couldn't you? I mean, I'd expect him to be at least on the bench now.
Would you make him as a player, though, generally, from what you've seen of him?
He can be a bit calamitous from some of the games I've seen him in.
Yeah.
He's an Atkins type player. He's steady on the ball, a bit like his brother, you know. He's good with the ball at his feet. He will try and play out of defence, but I've seen him make some horrendous mistakes in his career.
Fully fit, would you plug him in instead of Hector?
No.
Or Pierce, even?
Not at the moment. I don't think you could. Well, Pierce. No, not even now. I think players, when they come into that side, they're going to have to start playing themselves into that side, because players you just mentioned haven't done anything wrong, if you can say, well, they shouldn't be in the team at the moment. Unless they're all battling hard.
Yeah, you sticking with Hector and Pearce?
I think for now, yeah. You know, they've got the shirts, and I think if Adkins decides that Hector hasn't got enough experience or Pearce hasn't got enough pace or is not good enough on the ball, then we might see Ferdinand come in. I mean, for what it's worth, I think Ferdinand is a good signing at this level.
Yeah.
I'm a bit surprised, like everyone else, that he signed for Police United, then came here. He didn't have, or you know, he didn't sign for any other sort of Championship or lower Premier League side. But ultimately, I'm hoping it's our game.
Yeah. He's another one that's got a lot to prove. I mean, he's 29. It's not as if his career's at the back end. He's probably got a good 3-4 years left in him. So he's never really pulled up any trees, and he should be, really.
The one concern I'd have with these signings, aside from Norwood, so we're looking at Cox, Mackie and Ferdinand, they're all getting on a little bit, like we said with Ferdinand, 28, 29, and they are very much exposed as top Championship players at best, possibly lower Premier League. So if we were to go up in a couple of years, you're pretty certain that they would not be in the squad. And I mean, it's not necessarily a concern because this is the level we're at now in the Championship. Yeah. We know that, you know, we're probably going to be fighting for a playoff place at the very best. But we know that they're not going to be able to take us any further than that, probably.
But then it depends how the progression of the young players are, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think either have been. I don't think Cox and Mackie in particular have been awful at Premier League level. I thought Jamie Mackie was probably QPR's best player when they got relegated last time round.
I'd say Simon Cox, I don't know what his goal record was like in the Premier League, but he's done all right. He's worth 6-7 goals a season, I thought, when he's been playing.
Yeah, and those are gold dust in the top flight. But we have lost a couple of players as well. Obviously, again, we talked about all the released players in the in the summer podcast, so go back and listen to that if you want to hear our thoughts on Joby and Leisurewood and crew. But, and as we mentioned, Lafondre, but the other two that have gone, one that you'd probably have expected, one that you really wouldn't have, the one you probably would have expected was Alex McCarthy, who's gone to QPR. But again, it's probably not in circumstances that we'd have envisioned, because it's Adam Federici that's had the shirt this season. I would have thought, if anything, that it would have been McCarthy playing start of the season and putting in a few good shifts and a Premier League club coming in for him. It's not been the case. If anything, his value's gone down a bit because he's been benched. Federici started every week.
Yeah.
And now he's completed a move to QPR that's believed to be around about £3 million with add-ons. But various, obviously, in this era of undisclosed fees, you never know quite how much it is. But if we take £3 million as the fee, what do you make of it, Westy?
Well, I think we spoke at the end of last season and we said, if we had to lose two players, who would you choose? And I think we both said, or most of us said, Lafondre and McCarthy, only because we knew we got goalkeepers that can come in and do a job in this division.
Yeah.
Now, McCarthy, there's no doubt for me, I think if he can sort his kicking out, he can be one of the top goalkeepers in the country easily. He's got all the ability, he's big, he's strong, he's great at shot stopping, it's just his kicking. I think that's why he's come out of the side, really, because Adkins has seen Federici basically play as a sweeper. And thought, that's the sort of goalkeeper I need to get that defence moving, get the ball being played out. So that's why he's got the shirt. But I think it must have always been rumblings that McCarthy was going to leave before his contract ran out. And I think it was probably sorted out during pre-season when he said, look, we're going to have to lose a couple. And they said, well, we'll sell McCarthy then because he's replaceable. And it was a shame. It was a real shame because I think he will end up being one of England's top goalkeepers, as long as he can sort his kicking out.
Yeah, if you head on to talisten.com, you can read John Keane's previous guest on this show. You can read his thoughts on McCarthy. And he says it's one of the saddest transfers in recent times because it's Reading selling a player that hasn't even reached their peak yet.
Not even got close, I don't think.
I don't know what to think about McCarthy. I've just got this nagging feeling that McCarthy's peak is going to be in the Scott Carson, Chris Kirkland sort of area. I don't think he's ever going to be Joe Hart level. I think you might get him Ben Foster type level. But people are saying, oh, well, Fraser Forster went for 10 million and things like that. I'm not sure he's there.
He's got a year left now. They had to get rid of him, I think, because he could have quite easily run his contract down and sat on the bench.
And he wasn't exactly coming out in the press and saying, I'm desperate to stay here. I really want a new contract.
For his career, I think it's a great move for him because I think Rob Green's an awful goalkeeper. So
he's done running plenty of favours over the years.
It's soon being the QPR side. And I think it's a good move for him. And again, if we had to lose a player, I don't think anyone's going to be too upset at this McCarthy because I think we've got goalkeepers that can replace him.
Yeah, Adam Federici, Mikel Anderson, not to mention, we've got a handful of young keepers, John Henley and stuff as well. Sad to see McCarthy go, Johnny?
I am sad for the reasons that John Keane wrote about possible it would be the first Reading Academy player to potentially play for England.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Unless you count the likes of Neil Webb and players from way back when.
Yeah, well, okay.
But of the modern era, I suppose,
In the new sort of academy style. So, yeah, I guess I am sad in that way. $3 million, well, it's one of those things where he's only got a year left on his contract, so I think fair enough for $3 million.
And if the money gets invested again, Johnny, then I think we'll be all right about it. You know what I mean? If Monday comes and they sign two players, you think, oh, well, these are two good players. Mm. Then has it improved the side? You'd have to say it has.
What do you think he ranks in Reading keepers of the last... 10, 15 years. We've had a lot of good ones.
Well, it's tricky because we're getting him at the start of his career and not sort of a bit further along.
I'll tell you, when we did our fantasy draft of Reading players, did any of us pick McCarthy?
I
picked Hanneman.
I want to say I went for Shaka.
Yeah, I would have gone for Shaka personally, but I think I might have picked McCarthy. I don't remember.
I still think
I want to pick Federico.
I think he's behind. I think he's behind Hislop and Hanneman.
Yeah,
certainly.
Is he behind Hanneman?
I think he is.
Not as a goalkeeper, I don't think he is.
I don't know. Marcus is very steady. And his again, we're talking about distribution. I thought that was... those throws.
Again, give it 2 years. Damn. Give it 2 years and we might judge it differently. If he's pulling up trees in the Premier League, everyone's saying, wow. To be fair, Shaka went to a top side in the Premier League and he was the record goalkeeper signing at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. But he didn't really... Too many trees... in Newcastle.
He had a few shockers for Newcastle. The pressure got to him a little bit. Again, we might judge it differently a bit later on down the line, but McCarthy is a very good goalkeeper.
The thing is, we're going to profit from this because you would assume that they'll have some sort of, if you stay up, give us a bit of money, clause in there.
Probably that won't happen.
Fingers crossed. We'll see you on the way out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Next transfer fee, you'll probably get a bit of that. The other concern I have is the other two keepers, or first team keepers on the books now, Federici and Anderson, both their contracts are up at the end of the season. So, we've got to sign those two up because otherwise we're going to be left with no
one. This is the lingering problem.
There's a lot of that floating about.
And we talked about this last year, didn't we? In the end of season show, we were like, the big worry now is that how many players have we got beyond this season? Mm. And while it's nice to see players drifted into the club, I would quite like to see some contracts being signed sooner rather than later.
Again, it'll tell you a lot about the consortium and what they're going to do with the club, because if they're going to think, right, we've got a lot of young players coming through now, do we really need to sign all these players we've got at the moment? Do we want to let them drift away and put the youngsters in? Or do they come in and say, right, let's sort these contracts out because we don't want this side being super weak next year and have to bring in a load more players to replace them?
And it gives a certainty and it gives a better feeling around the dressing room, isn't it? Because otherwise, agents, it doesn't take too long for agents to start whispering in your ear saying, oh, try and get your move in January. This club wants it.
Morrison.
Yeah.
Well, as Johnny's cough sounds a lot like Sean Morrison.
Rotherham Connors.
You guys have got the strangest coughs. Anyway, Sean Morrison, your betting hero of the past few years, Westy.
And I was saying to you off air, it is going to be the only probably bet that's paid out 2 years and I've made a profit on it, so I'm quite happy in a way that I haven't got to keep backing him to score goals. But I must admit, I was shocked to see him go because I thought he was going to be a future Reading captain and I thought he might have been here for quite a long time.
The shock for me was twofold. One, that he went, but two, that he went to Cardiff.
Mm.
Because if a Premier League club like a Palace or something like that had come in, I would have thought,
fair enough,
that's fair enough. But Cardiff?
It's like you're conceding ground to him, isn't it? It's like you're giving them your supposed
it's
best
players.
It's
not even that. It's from Morrison's point of view.
I think it's a strange one. Again, you don't know what they was offering him. They probably offered him a lot of money.
Well, more money.
Yeah, more money. And I personally was a bit shocked about this one because I thought he was going to be a mainstay.
Well, he's come out in public in the press anyway and said there was no reason for me to leave Reading. Basically, they said, we've accepted this bid for you.
Mm. What do you want to do?
Yeah, what do you want to do? And although other stories have said it was Morrison that knocked on the door, but whatever's happened, he's gone now. Decent fee, believed to be somewhere over the £4 million mark.
Again, it's a lot of money for a player that hasn't reached that level. Matt Mills springs to mind, you know what I mean? He's been all right, Morrison, but again, he's due a few mistakes now and again, and even that goal against Wigan, he was chasing the ball like Gawkes used to, that he was never going to get. You know what I mean? He's over-enthusiastic.
You think of the Huddersfield game last year where that ball just flew over his head.
Poor. He's not the finished article, but I've personally thought he had a lot of improvement in him, and I think Cardiff must have thought that, and that's why they paid £3-4 million for him. We'll see.
I'm not sad to see him go for £4 million at all.
Again, it's all right if you're going to reinvest it. Yeah. Fine. Not disappear and then say we're in administration. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's done a good thing in a way because it's freed up a spot now for a more ball playing
Well, it's give Hector his opportunity. And again, someone we haven't mentioned is Cooper, who's come in. And I thought, lost an in-player. I thought, he's good in the air. He's a big, strong lad.
Mm. Yeah, because Pearce and Morrison, as a duo, just never... I didn't think it gelled. Like you mentioned, they both got no pace.
The turning circle of the planet, was it?
I think it was somewhere along those lines.
And not one of the smaller ones either.
No.
I'm sad to see him go, because he was one of the few players that it looked like Reading had said, you're our future. You know, last year he was captain for a long period of time. You know, he was in the side every week. He was one of the few players with a deal beyond this season.
It's a player that they plucked out of obscurity and gave an opportunity to, which, to be fair to him, he took. And I think he's one of those players that is just, he's quite driven with his career and he wants to get
guys. He's self-confident as well,
possibly
isn't he?
Can, yeah. And you can't knock him, I suppose. I don't think we're missing that much. That's the only good thing about it.
Yeah, and if you look at Nick Hammond and Reading's record of selling defenders, like you mentioned, Matt Mills, Andre Beakey,
Sonko.
They soon end up below us at some point, is that what you're saying?
No, it's not even that. It's just that Reading seem to get maximum value out of players that don't really go on to do a lot. I mean, the amount of signings, departures even, that you can say, that's really gone to haunt us. I mean, how many can you say? Especially ones that Reading were in control of.
Yeah.
No. I mean, they didn't have a lot of control over Sigurdsson or Long at the time they sold them. And beyond that, I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, no.
You might say Cox. You might say Antonio.
Sidwell left on his own accord even, didn't he?
Yeah.
But, you know, at the time, we didn't think of Cox and Antonio. This is going to come back to haunt us because, you know, they didn't necessarily have that ability. With Sigurdsson and Long, you knew that they were going to go on to that next level.
Mm.
I think with McCarthy, jury's still out. I think as we said earlier, it'll be a decent Premiership
game. He needs to sort his kicking out.
Yeah. Right, it's not just his kicking, it's just generally the ball at his feet. He looks scared.
Yeah.
He looks like he doesn't really want it there. So
so would I if I had Morrison and Pearce in front of me.
coming to left back, yeah.
with Morrison, I don't think he'll ever be anything better than a higher Championship, lower Premier League.
No, I agree with you there, because he hasn't got pace and you can't learn to be quick.
Don't know though, could he be a John Terry type player?
No.
No.
Vidic-esque?
Nah.
No.
No. Definitely not.
Fair enough. I can't say I disagree. I was just putting the question out there.
Chucking it out there.
Unless
you're talking about off the field with John Terry.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yeah. Can we all?
Oh, dear. Right, anyway. Vladimir Putin and John Terry are two people I don't want discussing this podcast very often.
And two names we didn't expect to say today.
It's almost as good as when I'm bringing up Danny Canamatri and Marco Gabbiadini.
Plucked out of nowhere.
Yeah, Marco Gabbiadini came up again because when we drew Derby away in the Cup...
He's a great player, he was.
I remember that game at the start when we got promoted to Div 1. We played them in the Coca-Cola Cup at home, 3-1 win.
He's a good player though, Marco Gabbiadini.
Good goal scoring record.
And I think near the end of his career, he had the gravitational pull of a small planet. So it's quite a big laugh.
Anyway, now that it's descended as Marco Gabbiadini, it's time to move on. So let's move on to your tweets and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Welcome back. Thank you to all of those who've sent in tweets to us this week. Very much appreciated. And as you've just heard in the sting there, you can get in touch with us via at the Tarlhurst End on Twitter. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/thetarlhurstend. And our email address is thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. We've also got threads in the Royals Rendezvous and in Hobnob Anyone. So check us out there and send in questions. So you can send them in all throughout the week. And they don't have to be about anything particularly topical and relevant this week.
Marco Gabbiadini, if you've got any questions about him, we're filled
there. Exactly, if you want our opinion.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Anything you want to hear about him.
If you want us to turn into a political podcast, please feel free. But send any questions throughout the week and we'll do our best to read out as many as we possibly can. Right, let's get into it. RFC Keith tweets us in saying, do we really need any transfers if we had a fully fit squad? If so, where? And this is one I left out of our pub chat discussion because it was a good one because we are coming up to deadline day tomorrow. Yeah. Where do Reading still need to strengthen?
Striker.
Left back.
Done. Yeah. Next.
Done, yeah.
No, going further on that, as I mentioned earlier, once we have all these players back, we're going to have a very, very good squad, including the bench, and there's probably going to be some players that aren't even going to make the match day 18. So we can't go out and buy 3 or 4 new players now because, you know, in October, in November, when these players start coming back, we're just going to have no room.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that we'll bring in a few loans, sort of, you know, 30, 60, 90 days.
I would like to see a left back, only because it gives you two options with Jordan. You can either put him on the wing, or you can leave it left back, at least knowing that if he is injured, you've got someone who can take his place.
Mm.
again, when we've got a fully fit squad, is Robson Carney going to play left side? Is he not going to be in the side? Is Cox going to play out on the wing as like a third striker or coming off the wings and attacking with Pogrebnyak? You don't know, but it gives you the extra option. I think they will buy a left back. I think they'll try and get one anyway.
Yeah. I think one of the bad things for me, and we'll talk about departures a little bit, is all these injuries is limiting your ability to let him reshape his squad because you can't flog injured players.
No, it's very difficult, yeah. People don't want injured players, do they? Yeah. Especially long-term injured players.
But we haven't really mentioned the injury list. It's huge. 16 players, Adkins said he was without. And I think a couple of those did include McCarthy and Drenton. Royston. Yeah. I suppose we should talk about Royston at some stage.
Oh,
but
we'll leave
that to the end. so, yeah, he's without, if you say then, 14 first-team players. And that list, me and Johnny, if you've been reading the Tullison recently, we take part in... The makers of Football Manager are running this parallel championship. And basically, you're supposed to play every week who Reading are playing in real life.
Mm-hmm.
They give you the squad each week. Doesn't have any injuries in it. It just has the players that are at the club. The squads we can put out, phenomenal.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. Why don't we run an 11? Because it'd be basically the first team, wouldn't it? Mm. In many ways. So,
well, yeah. Federici in goal. Abita left back. You're saying Hector and Pearce at centre backs?
What, at the moment?
Oh, well, yeah. No, if everyone squad, was fit, yeah.
So if we took away this week's team,
yeah.
Who could we
play? Oh, as in an injured 11?
Yeah.
Well,
McCleary, Williams, Guthrie, Carrichan. I mean, that's four starting midfielders.
Yeah, Pogrebnyak, striker.
Carnu.
Yeah, you've got Stephen Kelly, Carnu. Sean Cummings.
Ferdinand.
Yeah, Anton Ferdinand.
You know what I mean? You could put out a whole new 11.
Hector was injured.
Cummings. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but you could put a whole new 11 out, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go on to, I'll tell you what, we might as well do it as we've started it. Ideal 11 then, if everyone was fit at the moment?
It's tricky. Like I said, I think players have to come in and take players out of the side because they haven't been playing well enough.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just say, right, Guffey's fit this week. Sorry, lads. I know you've been doing well, but out you go.
Mm.
No, I think Guffey should have to sit on the bench and play his way back into the team. So I'll keep it exactly as it is.
Okay, fair enough. Mm. Okay, so
except for Pogrebnyak, because I don't think there's anyone who can really take his place. And to be fair to him, he's been absolutely battered in the five games I've seen him playing. Every time he gets a ball, someone either drags him down or kicks him in the back of the leg.
He's been one of my favourite players. When we argued for our player of the season last year, I put a case forward for him because I just think he's got on with his job. Yeah. And it would be so easy for someone on that sort of money,
to
be completely mailing it in.
Yeah,
and just think, you know what, this club's going nowhere. I'm guaranteed my pay packet. Just look at the other bloke who we're going to come and talk about later. But Pav, credit to him, he's getting stuck in. As I said, he's taking his bumps.
Again, yeah, he's taking his bumps. You know what you get from him now. I don't think anyone's expecting him to win too many flick-ons, and we're certainly not expecting him to be out-sprinting defenders. But what he does do, I think he does a great job for the side, and he just needs them players around him that can get beyond him.
But going back to Keith's question then, I agree, we do need another striker. You need someone that can take that burden away from him. A proper... goal-scoring striker,
not
a Cox Mackey type, you know, support striker. You need a proper number 10, number 9.
Yeah, I've said for a long time, I'd love to see someone with some genuine pace that can stretch teams, but I think they probably won't go for that sort of player. I think they'll go for a Pogrebnyak replacement.
What about Gary Hooper? That's a name that's been...
Again, he's a player that scores goals. I'd be interested to see if they got him, definitely.
Yeah, Adkins seems to be a fan of him. We'll see what happens. Charles didn't think it would happen, though.
No, I don't think Norwich are very keen to sell him, but just as a type of player...
Yeah, I really don't know. I think there's two options. You either go for someone who can play up front with him who's not going to do that water carrying and is just going to be out sprinting defenders, or you get someone who's like him and can replace him.
Also, this summer's window, unfortunately, has seen striker prices go ridiculous. I mean, Ross McCormack, 11 million. Asamoah Belonga, 8 million.
It's ridiculous inflation of prices. Yeah. I mean, you can get international footballers for...
It makes Cardiff buying Lafondra for 3.5 million look like a bargain.
Peanuts, yeah.
Even though I think they've probably paid over the odds for him. Mm. Yeah.
But can you really see Reading going out and spending 5 million on a striker?
No.
It would be unusual, let's put it that way.
It would be a record fee, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think, what is it at the moment? Two and a half, yeah.
Things I've said it before, the players that they're buying now, 600,000, 700,000, 800,000, they were doing that 25 years ago, or 20 years ago.
Carlos Arbour.
Your Caskers, yeah, and your Carlos Arbours. You know what I mean? We've been doing that for a long, long time. But our pricing seems to stay in the 90s, you know what I mean? We pay what we paid in the 90s, not what everyone else pays now. Whether that's a good thing or bad thing, that's up for debate.
We could offer Wolves 60 grand for Kevin Doyle. Yeah, he's not even getting on their bench.
No, again, I think he's lost his pace since he had his injury, and that's what's
sad. So we're saying left back then and striker.
Yeah.
Would you go for a proper established left back, someone, you know, in past years like a Wayne Bridge, or would you go for a more of a Joe Mills type, just as like a support guy to back up a beater?
I think you want someone who you know can do it at this level.
A Chris Armstrong type.
Yeah, someone who's steady, but you know, a steady Eddie type left back would be great.
But what I'm saying is, do you get him with the idea that you put him and he plays, you know, every week a left back, or do you buy a backup type?
Again, it's, you have to get into the manager's head and say what you're going to do with a bitter. You know what I mean? Are you going to play him on left wing or are you going to play him at left back? If you're going to play him left back, you want someone coming straight away and play left back. If you're going to have him on the bench, because then we can put Jordan further forward or we can leave him at left back, it gives you two options. I can't get in the manager's head, so I wouldn't know what he's going to do.
Johnny? As long as he's got a left foot, I don't care.
Yeah, that rope.
Yeah, that, get in heart back.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Mark Sugar, a regular friend of the show. Glad to hear from you again, Mark. He says, would you stick with the youngsters or send them out on loan to gain more experience?
I think we touched on that earlier, didn't we, Johnny? You said it. I think Cooper, Taylor, I think when players are fit and raring to go, maybe they will go out and do 3 months somewhere else. Because I don't think they're up to full speed, and I think it would be beneficial for them to get 3 months under their belt somewhere else.
I mean, there's a difference. I've said it many times. I still think there is a difference between playing in the under 21 league and playing against 28, 29 year old players, even at lower league level, who have played the game.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
Played the game of football rather than just playing football. And you can, the only way you can learn that is by going out on loan.
It's tough as well to ask these players to go from playing away at Middlesbrough and being part of a winning side in the Championship, say, oh, can you go down to Basingstoke on Tuesday night and play against, you know, Wolves' under-21s or whatever?
I think they've shown that they're of a level, haven't they? I think if they drop down a league, I think they'd look like really good players.
They need to learn. They need to make, and this sounds harsh, I want them to make their mistakes for, you know, whoever, a Peterborough or a Scunthorpe. I don't want them making their mistakes, as we saw on, again, the Huddersfield game, things like that. I want them to get the kinks out of their game at those levels. And as I said, for the likes of Tanner and stuff, and he's shown he can do it at this level, but as soon as Gareth McCleary comes back...
Oh, it's no comparison.
Yeah, and you just want them playing games. So at the moment...
Same as Edwards as well, we haven't mentioned Edwards. I think Edwards, when he come on against Ipswich, I think it was, he was absolute, like a little wasp, wasn't he? He just chased everything.
J-Tab, well. Stephen Hunt type,
yeah, maybe a little bit stupidly and naively at sometimes, but at least he had that enthusiasm. And again, I think he was a major part of the goal we scored this week. And he's just a little bit light. Yeah, if you watch him against top players, they will... Yeah. Well, you're only... A kid, basically, bang, off you go, you're off the ball.
J-Tab, Stephen Hunt.
Yeah, and they need to go and man up a little bit, you know what I mean, in lower leagues.
Any you would think that, based on what you've seen so far, you just want them around the squad all season? Aaron Cole is one of the names that people are saying, well, he's slotted straight in. Do you think he can hang with the likes of Williams?
To be honest, I want to keep Aaron Cole hidden for a couple of seasons just so that we can hold on to him. I mean... I'm not saying that a Premier League club are going to jump in for him right now.
No, but we'll be keeping their eye on him, definitely. Fair.
Exactly. Apparently, well, last season, Man City were apparently.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's going to be on everyone's radar, so I wouldn't mind if he's still playing in the reserves for a couple of years, to be honest. But, no, I think with players like Cooper, Tanner and Edwards, they're at that difficult stage where you don't know whether it's beneficial for them to play in the under-21 league or to play at league level. I mean, with the under-21 league... It's a good standard of league now, you know. I mean, and we're in that top division with Chelsea, Arsenal, etc. But most of their players are sort of under 18s as well, because they're shipping all their players out on loan. I mean, Chelsea have got an entire squad out on loan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the standard and the better football will be learned, ironically, you know, down in League 2 and League 1.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the thing with Aaron Cole, I think he's one season away from being our best midfielder.
Yeah.
I think he will be Guthrie's replacement next
year. Well, the likes of Will Hughes have shown at Derby that as a teenager he can come in. Yeah. I think at the moment, and I think it's good in a way, that Reading are going to get a few more weeks to decide on some of these players. But I out of all of those, the more obviously Hector's, I think, a bit more established, but out of all the other ones I've seen, I think the only other ones I'd consider keeping around are Taylor and Cole. Because I think Edwards could do with playing week in, week out.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is on the obviously a massive assumption at this stage that the players get fit again. The Guthries, the Williams, the Karachans come back fit. Because otherwise, are you really going to want Ryan Edwards hanging around not playing football or playing under-21s? I'd send him out.
I think they've had a taste of first team football and I think they haven't disgraced themselves. But I think there's better players we've got waiting to come back, and if they can do a job till Christmas, then great. Yeah.
And the great thing about the league, the loan system now, is obviously you can send youth development loans out, and you can recall them, and you can bring them back and stuff. So, and the loan window obviously opens a week after the transfer window, the main transfer window shuts. So Reading aren't limited in that respect. Right, moving on to Nathaniel Knight. He says, "What strikers would you buy, and what would they give to the team? I think we sort of touched on this a minute ago, but as I said, we want goal scorers.
Yeah, we want goal scorers, and goal scorers cost money, so
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what they get. Something like, you take a punt on a foreigner, don't you, and hope you can come and do it, but that is a few and far between that happens.
Yeah. James Beer, your first choice midfield when all are available, as unlikely as that is, he puts in brackets.
It's tricky now. I mean, like you asked me last week, I could have reeled it off really quickly and it would have been the three that are out.
Okay, we'll go then. Would McCleary be in it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Start.
Okay, so McCleary's one. Are we going to say this is a five-man midfield or a four-man
midfield? 2-3. Like 4-2-3-1.
Okay. I'd say McCleary. Yep. I would put in Jamie Mackey.
Yeah.
This might probably.
I'd put in Blackman.
Whoa!
Ooh.
Whoa!
See, I like Danny Williams.
Whoa! Okay.
No, Danny Williams would be in it. Yeah.
Danny Williams, okay.
Carrachan would be in it.
Carrachan. Carrachan and Williams are two in the middle.
2-6.
Well, then you've got three ball playing central midfielders then, haven't you picked from? So you've got Guthrie, you've got Kuhl, and you've got Norwood.
Yeah.
Two of them you haven't really seen enough on. Guthrie doesn't really do it for me. So I think it's that position is up for grabs more than probably any other on the pitch at the moment.
It's a stronger midfielder when we're in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's tricky. Even Carrachan, I mean, again, he's great at what he does, but how long is he going to be out and not match fit? He's not played for a year. It could take months to get him up to speed.
Yeah, but I think this is more of a general question. Yeah. So your dream.
Ideally, Danny Williams I pick every time. McCleary you'd pick every time. Other than that, I think it's up for grabs in positions.
So what, going back to the virtual championship though, the midfield that's been doing it for me, Hal Robson-Kanu, Gareth McCleary, Danny Williams, Jem Carrachan, and Simon Cox in the hole.
Yeah, it's, again, the best thing about it is we can't agree on it. So,
as I said, when we're in the Premier League and playing Ledgerwood and Tab every week.
Yeah, we had no choice.
We've come on.
And we still didn't agree with it.
Indeed, and you know, we've not even mentioned, I said, names like Aaron Cole, Jake Taylor,
Again, Ryan Edwards. At the moment, it's his position to lose.
Indeed. Right, so basically, sorry James, we can't really agree.
No.
So this will be for next week. We'll go away and we'll think, and for the next show, we'll, especially once the transfer deadline day's done, we'll come back with our ideal running 11s.
Well, again, Williams and McCleary we've agreed on, I think. Yeah. It's just the other positions. Yeah.
We'll come back with an entire 11.
Mm.
As next week. That's your homework, guys. Right. In your homework diaries. Yep. I want to see you write it down. Right. DK tweets us in saying, should senior players go straight back into the team or should the current starters, e.g. the likes of Kuhl, retain their place if they're playing well?
The only thing I would say about Kuhl, and I've seen him twice now, is because of his age and because if you go and watch the under-21s, the pace of the game is a very different pace than Championship football is. Because, I mean, we've watched Championship football for years and we can now kick a rush it can be sometimes and how quick the level is. I think with Kuhl, I think even when he came off the bench everywhere, it took him quite a while to get into the match. And then at the end of it, I thought last 5 minutes he looked like he was struggling. This week, he brought him off fairly early in the second half because, again, the pace of the game was getting to him. He'll learn that, but it will take him a little while to get to that sort of speed.
But just in general then, Johnny, what do you think? Do you think as soon as Jem Carrachan's declared fit, he's straight back in? Or do you say, well, they won the last week?
Yeah, I think, again, sorry to jump in on it. I think we've discussed it. I think they have to be able to get themselves played out of their positions rather than bombed out.
No.
Same with Cooper this week. I mean, Cooper played very well against Scunthorpe away and he was dropped.
I mean, I think Aaron Cole is a bit different to the other ones like Taylor and Edwards. I think Aaron Cole will probably, you know, we know he's probably the best of that bunch at the moment. So he might keep his shirt more easily than the others. I think if Cooper were to play and, say, Hector or Ferdinand were to be fit, then Cooper would drop. You know, if we got a winger back to replace Taylor, I think Taylor would drop.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think Cool possibly might be the one who sticks around and gets a lot more game time.
Yeah, he's certainly up a level. And he's the sort of player that managers like nowadays. The sort of Arsenal-type young player, comes through and steady on the ball and directs the play. He's that sort of, you know, sort of when you watch Barcelona there, a lot of the young players come through and play that sort of football down there. It's very sort of in vogue now.
Yeah. Joe Stevenson, and I've got to admit this one's new to me. Joe Stevenson says, what do you guys think of the anti-Adkins stance of BBC Radio Berkshire? I was reluctant to read this one out, but I thought I'll put it out there. For me, I can't perceive any particularly bias, any stance.
Not any more than anyone else.
I think those the commentators there have their own opinions, and I think they're entitled to them. I don't think it's gone particularly anyway, one way or the other.
No, I think Brendan Rodgers got a worse ride, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Definitely. But no, Atkins, again, he does divide opinion, but you can't really judge until he's put his team out there, and he hasn't done that yet, so.
No. Again, I think, I don't want to say I'm not, I'm fans of the guys and what they do there. And to be honest, if they have opinions, and I like the fact that Mick Gooding's not afraid to express an opinion, or Tim Deller as well, it's better than, you know, robotic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Atkins is funny because, like, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and when he took Cool off and he made two substitutions in the first sort of 10 minutes or so, that's like, oh, this is a bit risky. And you're thinking, wow, if this goes the other way now, then he's going to get slated. Or at the end of the match, you say, oh, genius move, you know what I mean? Even when he bought Cooper on at the end, there was a few rumblings like, oh, he took off. I can't remember, and it was Cox or somebody. But he took him off and thought, oh, this is a bit risky. But at the end of it, they're saying, what a great result. If it goes the other way, then it's dreadful, and what's he doing? It's always the same in management, and that's what you get paid the money for.
Yeah, and in a general sense, I think this is the best thing about local radio as opposed to national radio. And definitely, again, I've got absolutely nothing against Five Live, or any national news organisation, because they have much more responsibility to report it down the middle. The great thing about local radio is they know their audience. They're going to be Reading fans.
And they themselves.
And they're Reading fans. And the nice thing about it is, you know, that I don't know if Tim Deller likes or doesn't like Nigel Atkins, but I appreciate the fact that he's got an opinion on him, and he's got an informed opinion on him. So if they want to slide one way or the other, that's up to them. And it's up to us as fans. It's like anyone listens to this show.
I think with Deller, I mean, sometimes Deller makes me laugh because he does tend to give it a big one and then stand in front of the manager and say something completely different than you heard him say.
You've got to do that, though.
Because you want him to ask the questions that he's shouting about a long time before that. But I think with Atkins, I think the only thing that gets on Della's nerves is he's super positive all the time.
Yeah.
And I think as a fan, you want to come in, have a go in a way. And when he comes out with, well, we had 60% possession, but we got fresh 3-0, you're thinking, no one's interested now.
The thing is, Della's been brought up on, I didn't say what brought up on, but he's had managers like Coppell and McDermott that were, you know, very, very, you know, level, plain, you know, down to earth, and not the relentless positivity of an Atkins. And it's a difficult style. And I, again, personally, I'm not undecided about Atkins. I don't know whether I really like him. I
think he's the sort of bloke who, if he wasn't a football manager, would be selling cars. You know what I mean? It's that sort of...
He's doing a car fix.
Yeah, on a state
This
agent.
Car has done 150,000 miles, but it's given everything.
It's given everything.
It's given everything.
And it will get you 60% of the way. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's that sort of salesman type PR guy.
One of the wheels is broken, but the other three
are running perfectly well.
Exactly. And on another day, it might have gotten you to its destination.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
But you know what I'm saying with him? He's that sort of character, a sort of PR sales type guy. Yeah. I think that winds everyone up.
Indeed. Right, hopefully that's answered your question, Joe. Andrew Kelly says, would you say that selling Morrison was a business decision or something going on that we fans couldn't see?
Business.
Yeah, I think you'd have heard rumblings if there would have been any. I don't think there was. I just think Morrison was quite career-minded and Reading took the opportunity
to get a good bid,
big money for a player that's probably not worth that sort of money.
I mean, the thing is, you know, Morrison, he could have stayed if he wanted to. There's nothing saying, we've accepted a bid, you're off, mate, bye.
Yeah.
You know, Cardiff offered him more money and he decided, well, may as well take this.
Yeah, let's be honest. I said about, I was a bit confused that it was Cardiff earlier, but they are a team that on paper have a much better chance of playing Premier League football next season than Reading do.
Mm. If you looked at it from his point of view after the first game, you think, well, we've got a lot of young players in this side. How long is it going to be till I can get in the Premier League? From his own personal career.
And finally then, Gabriel Sutton says, will Simon Cox score enough goals in the Championship, and is there a need for other players to chip in with more?
Well, clearly there's a need for people to chip in with more.
No, I wouldn't mind players chipping in with goals.
Yeah. No, but is it basically, are we going to need lots of goals from different sources, or is Simon Cox going to get the key 20, 25 goals?
We will get lots of goals from different sources, I think. I think there's players that will score goals in that side when everyone's fit. I think Daly Williams, I said it to my mate the other day, I think if Daly Williams is fit and he plays all season, he'd probably end up being player of the year, because he's that sort of player. And he'll score goals because he has done already. And you can see him getting 6-7, maybe 8. You can see McCleary getting 6-7, maybe 8. Robson Kanu, although he doesn't do it half the time, you can still see him getting 6-7, maybe 8. And if you can get 3 or 4 players scoring nearly 10 goals, then Everfield's chipping in with one or two.
Well, last time.
Yeah. Mm. You don't need someone banging goals every week. It's nice, don't get me wrong, but as long as everyone scores. Mackie has scored goals.
Yeah, the other thing I'll go back to is we had an article a couple of years ago on the website about Adkins' promotion blueprint. And his teams have always been built around having that one striker, be it a Gary Hooper, a Ricky Lambert, that's going to go and score you, Billy Sharp, that's going to go score you 20, 25 goals.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that's the big move we're going to see, as we talked about a striker, that he thinks this guy's going to get me 20, 25 goals this season.
Oh, it's Andy. I said it's useful to have someone banging in 20 goals, but it doesn't seem to happen that much.
No.
Not anymore.
It's a team game now. I mean, you just look at 4-4-2 into 4-5-1, all across the attacking three, you've got to be getting goals and assists, etc.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Gabriel. Hope that's answered your question. Thanks to everybody that's tweeted in and sent us messages in. Very much appreciated. And as mentioned, at the Tire Listener on Twitter is the best place to go. If you do, try and put in the hashtag TTE podcast. It's a lot easier for us to sort through and it'll ensure you've got a much better chance of the question getting through. But generally, throughout the week, please feel free to send them in on the Facebook page or to thetirelistener@gmail.com. Just a few things then to wrap up. So let's move on to any other business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any other business?
Welcome back to Any Other Business. Teased this in the last segment, but I thought I'd leave this till now so we can easily cut it and edit it out if Westy gets into trouble. Royston Drenthe. Now, given the fact that Reading have got, as Nigel Atkins said, 16 players out, I think Royston was one of those players. A lot of fans have said, why on earth are you not putting Royston Drenthe in your squad? For those of you that are unaware of the situation, Royston Drenthe has pretty much been outcast. He's been told he's got no future at the football club, he won't be involved in the first team, and he's free to find a new club. At the moment, with a few days left of the transfer window, no one's come in for him, and he's just been sitting around. He's not training with the first team.
No one will come in for him. He's, like I said at the start of it, he's an unprofessional joke of a footballer. Just leave it at that. I said he would be a waste of time. I said Massar-esque. And I've been proved right.
Massar scored more goals.
I don't like being proved right, but I said at the start of the season.
You do like being proved right.
Everyone's telling me how great it is to get a player from Real Madrid, or he's played for Real Madrid. The reasons at Reading is because there's something wrong with him. That's what I said, and I was right. There's something wrong with him. And I think Atkins has made his decision now, and he can't really go back on it.
If he's still here after the transfer window, though, do you make another effort to bring him in? Because he did show a little. Let's be fair, let's give him his due. There were games last season where he did look a very good player at this
Drenthe level. Has got all the ability to be a top footballer, as he wouldn't have been at Real Madrid in the first place. I've said this from the beginning. It's not that I think he's a bad footballer, I just think he's an unprofessional joke. Simple as that.
Johnny, follow that.
How can I follow that? He's one of these players, he'll give you 5 minutes, get a bit of a wave and, you know, get a cheer from the fans, and then he'll be done, pretty much.
I think he is
dialing it in.
I think there was a few instances when he was playing where he's had massive rows when he's been on the pitch with Crosby and with Atkins, when they've told him to do something.
Borrow away last year.
Told him to do something, he's thought, nah, I'm better than you, like, I'm above all this. And you can't have that sort of player around a group of young players, being a player of his ilk, and then disrespecting the managers and doing what he likes, being a maverick. You can't have it. And he's not that good anyway,
memory of Royston Drenthe is at Bournemouth away, where he just steams through. And he's on his right foot, see, and Lafondre's square, just square the ball and you've got a goal. And he doesn't, he just has this ridiculous shot on his right foot.
Yeah, it's like he's not bothered. You think, oh, I'll score a worldie, otherwise, who cares about
it? It's just such a shame. It is just such a shame because, as I said, going into this show last year, the amount of talk we thought, you know, he could do it. And I know you were sceptical, but even you must have been excited when the deal was signed.
Well, them sort of players annoy me because he's got all the ability to be a top professional footballer, but he's going to fritter his career away because he's not got the attitude for it.
He hasn't got it up here.
Pointless.
He hasn't got it up in his head.
And he'll walk away a millionaire, and that's all that's wrong with football.
Yeah. And I really hope someone comes in and takes a punt because Reading just need him away. And I think it says it all about the footballer when Reading have got such a crisis. And for Reading to still not want to play him, there's got to be something seriously wrong with his attitude.
And for him not going to the newspaper saying, look, I'll take a pay cut. I really want to play football. He's not interested. He's not bothered. He will drag that contract out until it disappears. Then they'll go and sign for someone else.
He'll just retire.
Yeah, it's just a waste of time.
Very sad. Very sad. And I'd like to sit here and defend him. And no, I can't do it because it seems that the atmosphere is better. The atmosphere is better around the club. And I said, for the sake of bringing him in for a punt, even in an injury crisis, if moving him on helps the morale of the rest of the squad, you've got to go for the greater good.
Right, sir. Team game.
So that is our thoughts on Royston. And possibly until he leaves, probably the last we're going to mention him.
Close the door on the way out.
Yeah.
But if you have a tweet on him, we'll talk about it.
If you want to look at his Instagram, you can see the car he bought this week as well.
Yeah.
him signing a contract somewhere.
Yeah, BMW garage.
Yeah, sadly it was
or hosting, or hosting a FIFA tournament
yeah.
at his house.
He's still enjoying himself, so good luck to him.
He is, indeed. Well, you know, I hope deep down somewhere, something clicks with him and he becomes a footballer. Because like you say, it's just sad when a player with that much ability...
Waste it.
Yep. But anyway, that we've wasted enough time on Royston Drenthe. Let's move on to other wastes of time, which is our predictions this season.
They've been poor.
We'll talk about the Fulham and Millwall games in a minute. But this year, last year, all throughout the podcast, we predicted things and I never wrote them down. And this year I thought, do you know what? I'll actually write down to see how much we get right.
So all wrong.
All wrong. So for all the league games this season, I've been getting the predictions of my esteemed co-host, plus Charles Watts, who does the podcast extra with us. And after five games, so you've got 20 predictions in there, one man has got one score right.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Johnny Williams, who correctly predicted Forest would thump us 4-0.
Yeah, and yes. we all went for thumpings, but not quite that big.
Yeah, we all got we'll do the classic style. You get 1 point right for the result, and you get 3 points if you get the score dead on.
All right.
So after five games... I've got 2 points because I correctly predicted we'd beat Ipswich and lose at Forest. Johnny has just got the 3 points from his correct score at Forest. Westy has got 1 point for predicting we'd get beat at Forest. We've got every other result wrong.
Yeah.
And Charles, like me, correctly predicted we'd beat Ipswich and lose at Forest but got the scores wrong. So again, out of 20 results, we've only got six right between us.
Yeah, and one of them was getting spanked at Forest.
Yeah. Saying that, I think I did a Super 6 as well with the blokes at work, and I looked at my predictions for this week, and who would have said Stoke was going to beat Man City?
Yeah. Newcastle 3-1.
No, I have you.
Well, we'll keep that going throughout the season, and let us know who you think's going to win this. Or basically, use our predictions as guides on what not to bet on.
Yeah, like, you know, you can put them out of the way straight away.
Exactly, yeah. I am seriously thinking of just thinking, I'll come up with a prediction each week and then just bet on the absolute opposite.
I've got a theory that if I back Reading, they get beat. So if I don't back them all season, then maybe we'll have a good
year. Are you a fan of Judas? Just a quick question. Are you a fan of Judas betting?
Am I a fan of it? It depends how much money you win.
So, some people have got like, you should never bet against your team.
Well, the good thing about Judas betting is if you're sat at Madesi Stadium and you know you've backed the wayside and you're getting thumped, although you're sat there booing, technically thinking, well, at least I haven't paid to get in today.
Well, my best one was said when I've tried to tell the story before, but we were beating Leicester 3-0, and I had money on Kebe scoring first and us to win 3-1. And Kebe had scored first, and we're 3-0 up. Forrest Andy King, I think, bangs on in from 20 yards. I'm like, right in the middle of my 25, and I was looking at me like I'm some sort of idiot.
No one gets hurt in that, though, do they?
No.
So you've still got your 3 points, and you've got your money. Exactly, that's all right, that's fair enough. But when you've gone for just an away win,
yeah,
I think sometimes that eases the blow of the defeat.
I'm all for Judas betting. It does soften the blow.
We know Johnny likes a bet, so what's your thoughts, John?
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, I know that.
That's my thought.
Is he leaving it at that?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Anyway, yeah.
Good advice.
Gamble aware.
Within gambling responsibly is the argument about whether you bet against your own team.
Yeah, indeed.
And if you do need help, go to Gamble Aware, our favourite sponsor from last year. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough of that. Moving on then to...
Are they paying us to... No,
they're a charity, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny, come on, man.
You should know. Yeah. Right, anyway, moving on to the games we've got to play this week. Well, not this week, it's internationals. I'm sure you're all delighted to see the return of international football so soon after the World Cup.
Yeah, the dreadful World
Cup. I could not care any... Oh, dear.
Well, the English public don't care because I think Wembley's not even half sold, isn't it?
Yeah.
30,000.
These are international friendlies that don't need to happen.
Why do they need international friendly? They just had a World Cup. They've only just come back.
Yeah.
It's pointless.
I don't mind if they hadn't had a World Cup, then you'd be like, okay.
Fair enough.
But this is tough. But anyway, Reading aren't playing this week. They will be playing against Fulham at home on the 13th of September. Fulham, a team that at the start of the season, everyone was predicting to just blitz their way through the division. But it's gone anything but for them. I think they got their first point of the weekend against Cardiff.
Yeah.
Felix Magath is under massive pressure for his job. So you couldn't play. You couldn't ask for a better team to play than Reading, really.
Yeah.
Streak busters.
Does tend to happen like that. I think Again, most of us thought Fulham were going to do really well. I think they will. I think they'll pick up. I think it's just a matter of they've still got that Premier League hangover. When you get used to losing games, it can sometimes be difficult to go in a championship and play two games a week, every other week. I think they'll find their feet eventually. I just hope they don't find it next week.
Yeah, Johnny?
I think we'll beat them. I think we'll get a 2-1 win. I can't see us keeping any clean sheets at the moment. Even though we kept a clean sheet up at Middlesbrough, especially at home. I think, as we mentioned earlier, we're going to find it more difficult at home than we are going to find it away from home. So, to be honest, I think it's going to be another depressing season at home. But I think we'll just about do enough to get the win, 2-1.
I'm going 1-1.
Okay, so I'll put those in later. But anyway, I will go for... I'll go for a 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is Millwall in the midweek. Team that we've struggled against at home the past few seasons.
They've been good, actually, down here the last couple of seasons, from what I remember.
They've been good this season as
we
well.
We had to have a couple of late Monse goals.
Oh, yeah.
On the opening day a couple of years ago.
First game of the season.
Yeah, and then last year round, Anna Federici gave away a late penalty against 10 men.
Yeah,
got a draw.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So, by this time around, in Holloway seems to have gotten playing all right football.
He's a good manager at this level, isn't he, Holloway?
Mm.
He does tend to get the best out of a bad bunch sometimes.
This is one on paper Reading should win.
Yeah,
but I'm not so sure.
A bit like Huddersfield.
Millwall have been good this season.
Okay, then money where your mouth is, Johnny.
2-2.
2-2.
Oh, I'm saying 2-1 Reading.
2-1 Reading. I will go 3-2 Reading.
Cool, it's a good game.
I mean, I take your point in saying that it's one on paper that we should have won, because you look at it and you think Millwall aren't very good, Fulham are going to be up there, but it's pretty much working out the opposite.
It's a championship for you.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. That that just about wraps us up, to be honest. Only things to really say are, please subscribe to us in iTunes. It's the easiest way that you'll get this show. If you've got other devices as well, subscribe whatever ways they have. And keep checking thetylersend.com. Plenty of content going up every day. There's new stuff, so please keep heading over to there. And as I said, the Tylersend Podcast Extra should return before the next games. Charles is expecting his first child,
mm-hmm.
So that may not happen. So follow us on Twitter and you'll find out if... Well, I'm not going to update on... I'll follow Charles's feed for that.
Yeah.
But we'll update you on the podcast extra.
We're not involved in that.
We're not involved in that at all. As for us and when we'll be back, as we've mentioned, scheduling problems have been a bit tricky so far this season. Last year, we tended to record on Mondays, Tuesdays, and we'll have a little chat off air.
See what we can do.
But yeah, this should be us back. We won't record... I said that. Now I'm going to say we're not recording next week.
We're back when we're not back.
We're back when we're not back. This is a tease for you. With international weeks, unless Reading go out and sign 10 players on deadline day, there's not a lot of point in us coming back next week. So, unless we fancy doing an England podcast.
No.
No.
have you got a busy day lined up tomorrow, mate? Are you working there?
I'm working overnight. So, more deadline day fun for me. But on the website as well, I'll be working. Me and Johnny and our assistant editors, Mark, Simeon and Steve, will all be manning.
Pulling all night, am I?
We'll be manning a live... We're keeping a blog.
Graveyard shift.
We'll be keeping a blog throughout the day of all the transfer deadline day activities, so you can tune in.
I'll make sure I look in the morning when I wake up, series time.
Last year's highlight was when I posted a video of elevator music.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was the highlight, was it?
That was the highlight of last deadline day.
Yeah.
There was a few tumbleweeds as well. So,
I think it's been like that for the last couple of seasons, hasn't it?
Yeah, anyway, fingers crossed, we should be having an exciting deadline day, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. But as I said, thank you very much for those that have tuned in, and if you've just joined us for the first time, I really hope this doesn't put you off.
Yeah, where you been? Another thing.
Yeah, we're getting into our stride. This is our first game back.
Yeah, feeling a bit rough already.
Yeah. On that note, we are off. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you soon. Ta-da.
Bye. It's funny how the crowds always leave a trail. Funny.